Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of the Shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcefully to old and young alike that crime does not pay.
The Shadow, serious character who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Several years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned strange and mysterious secrets. The hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Club of Doom.
Tell us. Good Lord, I'm furious.
I don't believe it, Mr.
Sometimes I don't believe it myself, Cranston. Like some hideous nightmare. Any minute I expect to wake up to find I dreamed the whole thing. Then I see these bars.
Why? Why did you do it?
I wish I could tell you.
You mean you don't know why you killed your wife?
No, Cranston, I don't. That's the horrible part about it. I don't even remember killing her.
Yet
I know that I did.
Do you remember what you were talking about just before it happened?
Yes, I was telling her about having landed the Sherman account.
Well, I suppose you were feeling quite elated, over it.
Elated isn't the word. I felt as if I could have licked the world. Next thing I knew, Helen was in my arms. Then, I'm no getting away from the fact. I murdered my wife.
According to law, Blakesley, the state has to prove intent to kill before they can make out a case of first-degree murder.
That's just about tipped me in the electric chair, Sampson.
What do you mean?
You see, I wanted to kill her.
Well, I hope you didn't get a ticket, sweetie.
No, Mr. Cranston. But I gotta admit, I was worried, I gotta admit. Parking in front of a jail ain't so healthy.
The man had been hit up. Did Blakesley tell you anything?
Well, David looks pretty bad for him, Martha.
But the man, it doesn't make sense. A man like Blakesley just doesn't murder his wife and leave.
I just goes to show you. You can never tell a guy by his looks. Now, take what happened to me this morning. A guy tried to kill me, Clyde.
Kill you? Oh, who'd want to kill you, Stevie?
I don't know who he was, Blaine, but he sure didn't look like no killer. More like a lawyer he looked, or a businessman, maybe.
Tell us what happened to you.
Well, it was like this, Mr. Cranston. I picked up this guy in front of the athletic club. The same one you and Commissioner Weston belong.
Dr. Gloria Chester, I've been late for my appointment.
See, I'm going as fast as I can when I'm getting a ticket, mister.
Well, what are you looking at me like that for? Anything wrong with me?
I wasn't looking at you. I was keeping my eyes peeled out for cops.
I just think this while you're looking at me through that mirror.
Now, look, mister. Hey, let go. What's up the guy to you? You're choking me. You almost wrecked the cab.
Holy smoke. I'm sorry, driver. I gotta get out of here.
Well, Mr. Cranston, I never was one to run away from a fight. But the look on this guy's face didn't make me happy. Anyway, he takes me off with a nice flat tip and gets out of the cab. So I just goes to show you. You never know.
Well, that's a strange story.
Where did you say this man hailed you?
Right in front of the athletic club. And boy, he was plenty athletic.
Yes, that's funny. The lights on in Mr. Randall's office. I'd better see who's in there. Oh, sorry, Mr. Randall. I didn't know you was working late.
Yes, I have to catch up on some work.
It looks like it might rain. I'd better close the windows if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead. I won't be long.
We've been getting a lot of rain lately, haven't we? Well, I won't be bothering you any longer. I've got to be making the rounds. Mr. Randall, what's the matter? Mr. Randall, you're choking.
You got a match, mister?
Why,
yes.
Here you are.
Oh, thanks. Hey, what are you for me? I ain't done nothing. I only asked you for a match.
I just wanted to...
Hey, take your hands over me. What are you trying to do? What are you going to do with that cane? Yeah, no, don't.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to present our president, Gordon T. Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Friends, this is a big moment in my life, but it wouldn't be fair to let it pass without my giving credit to the man who has been the guiding hand behind our organization. I am referring to the gentleman seated on my right, my partner and best friend, Joe Osborne.
Thank you, Gordon.
Joe and I have been together for a long time.
Well, look, Dad. You can't hold it.
We've had our up.
Why is he raising it?
Down. What are you doing, Gordon? What are you doing?
I don't get it, Cranston. I went to school with these men. They're all members of the same club. All of them prominent, law-abiding citizens. Suddenly they go berserk. One of them murders his wife, another kills a night watchman, third one clubs a hobo to death with his cane. Last night, too, buddy. Split open his partner's skull with a water pitcher. What's gotten into them?
Maybe it's an epidemic.
You can't be more helpful than that, Miss Lane.
Margot may have something there, isn't she?
Are you serious? An epidemic of murder?
Not as fantastic as it sounds. Well, that's not exactly what I have in mind.
Oh, then you have something in mind. Would you let a very much concerned friend in on it?
Gladly, Commissioner, as soon as I get a few more of the facts straight.
The facts are clear enough, Cranston. It's the motive for these crimes that's keeping me up night.
You mean the lack of motive, don't you?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Special delivery for you, Commissioner.
Oh, thanks. That's probably another headache.
No, it's a mistake of that omelet, Commissioner. I believe that that's the wellman.
Wonderful, Margot. Commissioner ought to throw you in as one of his judges.
I don't think he appreciates our sense of humor, Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
What is he?
Bad news, Commissioner?
And how'd better? Take a look at this, Francis.
You see? Your neck.
Mm.
That doesn't sound like a wedding invitation.
No. More like an invitation to murder.
Since I've been police commissioner, I've gotten exactly 73 letters threatening my life. I'm not going to let this one bother me too much. What's got me, Buffalo, is my best friend turning into killers.
Did you say that all of these men were classmates of yours?
Yes, I've known them practically all my life. Now I've got a hold of them for murder.
What makes you so sure they're guilty of murder?
Well, what would you call it?
I call it a plan for murder. A plan in which that warning those who just got may be a key part.
What are you talking about?
Just this. Four of the most prominent citizens in this town have committed crimes of violence. None of them actually remember committing the crimes, yet all of them have a very positive feeling that they wanted to kill their victims.
Well, I'm sure of one thing. Those men aren't criminals. They could no more murder anybody than I could.
That's exactly what I've been trying to tell you.
Well, you two will have to excuse me. I think I'm going to take the afternoon off and go down to the club for a workout. The case beats anything I ever handled.
This is our exit to you, Margot.
Bye, Commissioner.
Bye, Miss Lane. I don't mind what I said.
Oh, that's all right.
Goodbye, Commissioner. If I were you, I wouldn't underestimate the importance of that warning note.
What's all right, Lamar?
I'm taking you home, Margot.
Where are you going?
Jail.
Jail? But you've already seen Blake.
One of the talk with Randall and the others.
Oh, in that case, I guess I don't go home.
You gave me a fear, Margot, when you said those crimes may have been an epidemic.
Then you can...
I think the same as the commissioner does. Those men could no more commit deliberate murder than he could.
Yeah, that's fine, Joe. Thanks.
I'll get the
car. Oh, never mind,
Joe. I'll get it. You walk Ever thought of having an operator now?
I'm afraid I'll have to let it go. It's gone too long now. You look worried, Commissioner.
I am worried, Joe. If I can throw some light on these killings, I'm going to have to send four of my best friends to the electric chair.
Yes, I've been reading about it in the papers. What about those murders? They're all the fine men. That seems to have been today, Commissioner.
Yes. Yes, you may as well give me the work.
Yes.
Boy, that feels good.
Too bad about Mr. Blake and the others. I wonder what made them do it.
Yes, you and me both, Joe.
Wasn't a nicer, friendlier person than Mr. Randall. Oh, that's about my leg. Don't even offer to pay for an operation. He was kind to everybody. Yet he killed the wife, my wife.
Uh-huh.
So is Mr. Silver and the others.
Oh, big-hearted, generous men.
You see, Commissioner, I think there's a bit of madness in each of us, waiting for a chance to spring up. Don't you think so?
Oh, yes, yes, Joe. Very interesting.
Hello, Winston.
Hello, Bob.
They told me you were down here in the steam room. You're getting to the work?
Good
evening, Mr. Sherman.
Good evening, Joe. Weston, I just wanted to ask you if you want to take part in the wrestling matches tonight. The boys are putting on a little exhibition in the gym.
Sure. Maybe it'll take my mind off other things, not for fun.
Oh, yes. That was an awful shock, Commissioner. I sure can't believe it.
Well, there's no getting away from that, Sam.
I suppose you have to do your duty. So why don't you join me for dinner up in my room when you're through?
Thanks. Don't mind if I do.
And, Joe, will you tell the other boys about the matches and while you're at it, suppose you tear them off?
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Just be sure and match me up with some of my size, Joe.
That's easy to look at. Mr. Chairman here is just about your way.
Yes, you can't take me on, Commissioner.
Okay with me.
That's good. I always did want to beat up a policeman.
Suppose you tell me just how it happened, Commissioner.
Horrible, Cranston. Connor and I had done the mat a few seconds. First thing I know, he went limp. He said something to him. He didn't answer. He was dead.
Is the coroner been here yet?
Yeah. Going to an autopsy, but it's a waste of time. I must have strangled.
This is important, Commissioner. Tell me where you were and what you did from the time you got to the club until you went on the mat with Ken.
Yes. First thing I did when I got here was to go down to the steam room. Cameron joined me there, asked me if I wanted to take part in the wrestling matches. Then he invited me to have dinner with him in his room.
You spent the evening with Cameron until the time you both went down to the gym for the matches, is that right?
Yes.
That threatening note you got this afternoon, Commissioner, do you have it with you?
Yes, there it is. I had photostat copies made before I left the office. My men are trying to locate the typewriter on which it was written.
Have they checked all the machines here at the club?
Yes, doesn't check it on them.
May I hold on to this note?
Hmm? Oh, yes, sure, but you're wasting your time, Cranston. I've been at this game too long not to know when I'm licked.
Doesn't sound like you, Commissioner.
Facts are facts. I killed Cameron. I know I killed him.
What makes you so sure?
Because just a few seconds before it happened, I distinctly remember wanting to kill him. I'd have killed anybody I got my hands on. I felt as if I could lick the world.
That's exactly how Blakely described his feelings when he killed his wife.
Huh?
And the way Randall felt when he strangled the night watchman in Shrewsbury when he stood over his partner's cell. All of you had that same feeling.
Right. They did tell me that. But why, Sampson? What got them into it all?
I'm not quite ready to answer that question, Commissioner.
Whatever it is, it doesn't change things much. I still killed Cameron.
Maybe you didn't.
What do you mean?
Smell this tube of toothpaste, Commissioner.
Funny, Otto, that's burnt almond. Where'd you get it?
I picked it up in Cameron's dressing room. He brushed his teeth before he went down to the gym with you, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I think you'd better phone the coroner. He might have something of interest to tell you. You didn't kill Cameron. He was poisoned.
Hello.
Hello. Mr. Jackson?
Yes?
You know a young lady by the name of Martha Lane?
Yes, what's the matter? Has anything happened to her?
She's been hurt.
Where is she?
She's in a private hospital.
How much farther do we have to go, Trudy?
We're almost there, Mr. Cranston. We're almost. Boy, this is the middle of nowhere if I ever start. Are you sure somebody isn't playing a joke on you? Getting you out here in the middle of the night?
There's no joke, Trudy. I phoned Miss Lane's home. She's not there.
Sure hope she's all right, I hope.
Definitely.
Well, this is the place, Mr. Cranston. It don't look like no hospital to me.
You wait here, Susie.
Okay. But I hope you won't be too long, I hope. This ain't exactly a gay neighborhood.
Well, I just received a similar call telling me you'd been hurt.
Somebody got a boat out here on purpose. Let's get out of here quickly.
Somebody's outside that window.
Yeah.
Don't turn around. Caught the glint of a gun.
Oh, no.
And walked into a trap. We've got to act as if we didn't see him. It's our only chance. We're perfect targets for the light on. Work your way over to that light switch. Now walk towards the clock. We'll pretend to be looking around. When I say the word good time, you turn out the light.
Well, Margaret, this place is nicely furnished, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, you know.
Now, look at that old grandfather's clock.
Interesting looking antique, isn't it? Must be at least 100 years old.
Yes, but it probably keeps good time.
He's down there!
I'm going after him.
Oh, be careful, Lamont.
Getting into a car.
Mr. Branson. Mr. Branson.
In here, sweetie. You all right, Margaret?
Yes. Branson. I heard shooting, I heard. What's going on?
Quickly, let's get out of the cab. Maybe we can still catch him.
I heard a car starting, but I didn't hang around to see which way it went when that gun started popping. I beat it right in here, I beat it.
Oh, no point going on a wild goose chase. See what we can find in here. Turn on the light, Margaret.
Are you all right, Miss Lane?
Yes, Susie. I'm more than a little scared. Don't you realize that we might both have been murdered this night?
I'm afraid I was the intended victim.
I don't.
You and Susie, wait for me in the cab, Margot. Then have a look around this place.
All right, you must please be careful.
I don't intend to be caught in my coming out of this trap alive. That's an oversight likely to sit him right in the electric chair.
Oh, good morning, Margaret. I was just on my way out.
Have you seen the papers?
No, not yet.
Well, listen to me. Police Commissioner cleared in Cameron County.
Yes, Margot. Now, for a while, Commissioner Weston was in a very uncomfortable position of having to arrest himself for murder.
But he didn't kill him.
No, they found traces of cyanide on Cameron's tongue. His toothpaste had been poisoned. He died a few seconds after he got on the mat.
You know, Lamont, I don't see the tie-up between what happened to us last night and the cat killing.
A very definite tie-up. Remember the threatening note Commissioner Weston received?
Yes.
Last night, I found the typewriter on which it was written. I also found a completely equipped chemical laboratory.
Well?
In the cellar of the house next door to the one we were almost trapped in. Margot, doesn't it strike you odd that all of these killings were done by members of the same club, all classmates of college?
Well, what does that mean?
Only this. Someone is out to get these men. Is there anyone who interferes with his plans? The man we're looking for is physically and probably mentally warped.
How do you know that?
I can't tell you just now, Margot. The Shadow has an appointment with a murderer.
That's fine, Joe. Now, massage my neck a little to the left, eh? That's the spot. Only not quite so hard.
Sorry, Mr. Drake. That better?
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, you've got a bit much steam on, Joe.
Right?
Yes, I feel a little dizzy, actually. I think I've had enough of this cabinet today.
Oh, no, you haven't. Not half enough.
Well, what are you talking about?
I've been waiting a long time to get you into this steam box.
Hey, what kind of a joke is this? Open the cabinet and let me out of here.
You don't understand, do you? Take a good look at me. Don't you recognize me?
Why, no.
Then maybe this will help your memory. At college, they used to call me Acid Raymond.
Acid Raymond? The chemistry professor's prized pupil.
Yes. None of you recognize me. It's been a long time since the night of the initiation.
Oh, why didn't you let us know at this table? That whole affair was a terrible accident.
A very unfortunate accident. Did you think you could make amends for my broken leg? Did you think your sympathy would cure my spinal injury? The doctor told me long ago I could never be cured.
How much money did you want?
I want your money. I want your life, Greg. And the life of every man who was in on that initiation.
Now, you must be insane.
Maybe I am. He said that spinal injury might affect my mind. But I don't think it has. My mind has never been clear. I don't think it's hot enough for you in there, Drake.
Well, I'll fix that. Joe!
Listen to me, I...
Why do you think I took this job? Not for the glory of rubbing your thick hides, no. Every member of this club who was in on that initiation would pay with his life. Only you won't go the way the others will. You were the ringleader of the hazing. I've got a special way to take care of you.
You're crazy, Joe. You'll burn for this.
I'll burn. That's a good one. You'll burn, Drake. You'll roast alive in that steam box.
Oh, no, he won't. That's his Raymond.
Who's that? The fish. It went out by itself.
No, it didn't, Raymond. The saddle turned it off.
Oh,
Mr. Mallory, Mr. Drake, leave this room. I'll deal with that, Raymond.
You won't get out of this room alive.
Quickly, Mr. Drake, out that door. Now, Joe Raymond.
Who are you?
The saddle.
Saddle? What do you want with me?
Confession of your crime.
You can't prove anything. Nobody can. They did the killing. You can't get away from that.
You convicted yourself, Joe Raymond. Confess that you injected those club members with a powerful drug while they were in the steam cabinet. A drug that gave them first the terrific physical energy and caused them to commit murder.
Yes, I did it. Killing them off with stewing it. I wanted to pit one against the other, have them murder each other, kill their wives, everything they love. School, I majored in chemistry. I made good use of that knowledge. They never suspected when I rubbed the backs of their necks what I was massaging into their system.
You took the wrong path, Joe Raymond. You tried to wipe out the accidental wrong that was done to you with crime, but you can't get away with it.
Oh, yes, I can. Because you won't live to tell any tales, Shadow. Yes, Shadow. I've locked you in. I'm going to open all the steam valves, Shadow. The heat will take the skin right off your body.
Well, Margo, luckily Drake came back to the police. He got to go in and trying to get away.
But with all that steam, how did the Shadow escape such a kick?
The steam rises. By hugging the floor, it was possible to remain conscious for a good while. The police came none too soon.
Man, what did the killer use?
The drug, Margo. Powerful mental and muscular excitement based on the case of Bob. South American Indians used to excite them in battle.
But if Raymond wanted to get rid of Tom, how did he poison your sister? Why didn't he just let the drug take its natural effect on him to miss and let him kill Cannon during the race from there?
He wasn't taking any chances. He knew the commissioner had unusually strong powers of self-control. He doubted that whether a drug even as powerful as that one would make Weston commit murder.
You know, Lamont, I still can't figure out how this trail of crime pointed to Joe Raymond.
Footprints, Margo. Footprints of a man who lived. I found them outside that window last night. A similar print were on the back of the adjoining house.
He used the house next door as a trap.
Yes. Belonged to a friend of his who was away. Raymond had the keys. He's become a homicidal maniac, Margo. He became.
Program is based on a story copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Again next week, the Shadow will demonstrate that
the weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, your friendly Blue Coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. Be sure to listen. This is Ken Roberts saying, keep the home fires burning with Blue Coal.